So I want to talk tonight about Bishul Akum. So Bishul Akum is the halacha that Chazal, we talked about Pas Akum last week. Bishul Akum is another gzera that was found in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah over there. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that Chazal were goyzer on Bishul Akum, on food that was cooked by a goy. Why? So we said last week that by Pas Akum, the reason was because they were goyzer that intermarriage. So that's vada chasnas. They were vada goyzer that also by pasakum, by bishul akum.
For the same reason for bishul akum.
So most rishonim say that was the same reason by bishul akum. There's another additional reason given is besides because of chasnas, that by bishul akum is an additional reason given mishum shema yachilenu davar tamei, that maybe he's going to mix in trey food, which doesn't necessarily apply by pas, because by pas the ingredients are very noticeable. It's very clear. The guy used oil, not to, everything becomes very clear. But Shane came by bishul. You can't really tell what's going on sometimes in the Michael, and therefore there's an additional reason of Shema Yachilenu Davar Tomei, and in addition to the Isser of Chasnas. That's what Rashi says in Avodah Zarah in the Gemara there. So we're choshish for both reasons. Okay? So based on that, we're choshish for both reasons. The Piskei Teshuva brings down over here in Nafkamina, what about a Mumar L'chal Shabbos for Hesia? So Lemaisa, he's considered like a goy for certain things. Like, you're allowed to say Lashon Hara about him, you're allowed to charge him ribis, and these things. What about Legabe Pasakum? Is his bread considered Pasakum? It's Machlekes. Why? Because the whole Gzeir is Mishum Chasnas. Now, Lemaisa, if this guy has a daughter who, you know, when Maridik, she balls tshuva and Gvaldik a girl, so she's Jewish, her Yichus is Gvaldik. So there's no Mishum Chasnas on a Mumar. So therefore, some place can say that even though technically he's like a guy, but maybe since the reason doesn't apply, there's only surpass akum on a mumar. That's what some place can say. It's welcome to be machmer on that, but there's also welcome to be mekel on that. But on Shein Kane, by bishul akum, the Pesach Teshuva says everyone's machmer on that because you have the second reason of Shem Yachilenu Davartame, that even though you don't have this rechasnus necessarily, because, like we said, if he's going to marry his daughter, it's fine. But that would still apply because the guy's not from. And for care, if anything, maybe he'll try to be machshel you even more, etc. So therefore, that reason does apply, and that's the Pesach Teshuva Paskins, and a mumum chal shabbos for Hesia would have an iser of bishul akum. Okay, so now the two most famous klolim, which are basically what we're going to talk about today, in the next couple of days, is the two principles that the Gemara says, which govern the halachas of bishul akum. One is that the Gemara says is that it's really, the emphasis is that it's two lashonis in the Gemara, and it's a chiddush that the poskim take both leniencies of the Gemara. One lashon in the Gemara says is that there's only an isser bishul akum if you prepared for your food which you would not have been able to eat raw. It's ein nechal chai. Ein nechal kmo shu chai. You can't eat it raw. What's the logic? The logic is if you could eat it raw, so therefore it's hard to argue that he really helped you. What, you're gonna intermarry with this guy because he got you a carrot? What's going to source? I would have the carrot without him. So I don't have this tremendous amount of akar satov and gratitude to him because he got me this carrot. He made me this applesauce. Whatever. Theoretically, you could eat apples by itself. So, Lav Dafka, you would feel a debt of gratitude towards him. And, any sort of chasnos, any sort of akar satov based on the food which is nechal chai. So therefore, that's one svar that in a food which is nechal chai, there's always a bishul akum. If you go out, tell you achyelin davar tamei.
But the main thing is that it could be echol chai, or potentially could be.
The food is nechal kamo shul chai. What do you mean? Name.
That's the ikur way of eating that.
Okay, so we'll see. Yeah, roiv v'the oilam, not ikur necessarily, but roiv v'the oilam does.
Okay, and then the other thing is that is the chas because of karsato,
or is it just mitzi Shechitas, then now you're eating his food. So that's why I said it that way. Because if you're right, in other words, really, if you learn chasas, just the fact that there'll be a social gathering, so bottom line is you're eating cooked carrots together now. So who cares if you could have theoretically eaten a raw one without him? Bottom line is now you're having a party with the cooked carrot, right? So that's why this shita holds that it's part of it has to do with the gratitude, with Dakar Satoiv Shabbat. The other, and Al Sham Yachalenu Davar Tomei, also they say, is that the guy knows that you don't really need him that much. So he's not going to try to chop you here on this food. Because the worst comes first, maybe you're not going to eat it, you don't need him, you'll just have your own carrots, you know. So therefore, he's not going to look for a way to chop you over here on the nechel. That's the logic over there. Let's see how he says it exactly. He says, no, he doesn't speak yet this far, but this is the logic. This is what the place can say. Right here. Also, they say is part of it is that if you only gave you something that you could have had without him, you're not going to end up, you know, constantly coming over. The guy gives you a piece of chicken. You know what? This is a good deal. I'm going to come back tomorrow night. The guy gave you something that you could have had without him. Your oven is down. So you're going to go to your neighbor. You know, hurricane came in. Your oven got hit. His is fine. So you're going to go. He's going to make you food. All right, so you have a car. He served me already. He served me a bunch of carrots. For that, I'll stay home. I'll just have raw ones. So it's not going to margul him etzlay also. That's another sign. Okay. So that's the first principle said in the Gemara, that it's official akum is not said on something which is nechel kama shuchai, if it's edible raw. The other principle is there has to be a food which is oil al shulchan malachim. It has to be a food which is considered a chashna food. Literally means that it would be fit to be served at a king's table. Why? Same logic. Because if the idea is that he's going to invite me over and give me a dinner and all that, he's not going to invite me over for a shvacha meal. He's going to want to invite me over for a good meal. So if it's just like plain food, which is not chosha food, then there's always a special akum on that. Okay? So we have to go through. Now, we paskin, this is two lashonis in the Gemara, we paskin like both lashonis lakula. So that means that any food which is either nechachai or not oila shulchan malachim, is not a chosha food, there's no problem with special akum. So for example, they say like chickpeas. You go to the store, you buy a little can of chickpeas from a Green Giant, whatever. I don't know. Whatever the company is. So even if it's not Bishal Yisrael, there's no Isser Bishal Akum because chickpeas is not a chasha food. No one's serving that at an estate dinner. And we have to define exactly what it means, Shulchan Malachim. But that's the idea. Okay? So cereals, breakfast cereals, let's say. We spoke last week about breakfast cereals. If there's an issue of Bishal Akum, a Pas Akum on Cheerios and stuff like that. But what about the cereals which are not baked, but they're cooked, you know, prepared in a different process, like cornflakes?
They're not going to be on the table at the presidential dinner.
No, or not. You'll tell me the president probably eats it for breakfast.
It's different.
The president's breakfast is not a state dinner. That's his own private business, you know. So therefore, that doesn't count. So a breakfast cereal, mushrooms, no problem, visually stroll on that. Okay, now, we spoke out last week, you know, are you machmer pasak? You're not machmer pasak? So, okay, listen, I'm not machmer bishul yisrael. I go bishul akum. So, Chazal never took back the gzera. They never held back or undid or revoked the gzera of bishul akum on any level, only on pas yisrael. So pas yisrael, because Tosfos can say two reasons. One reason is because, like we said, it's staple, so they realize it was too difficult. But there's also this other kinach that the Aruch HaShulchan says, because Pasachim had this extra problem of Shem Yachilin and Davar Tameh. So they were more concerned, they were extra concerned with Bishul. So they never revoked any part of the Gzera of Bishul Akum, only of Pasachim. And then we can't say, I'm not Machmer, I am Machmer, you know, seriously, Tshuva. No, Bishul Akum is innocent Darbana, period. It's just as Chomer as having chicken and meat together. Chicken and milk, Mashal. Same thing. It's an Issa Darbana, and maybe there's even a MacArthur in the Pos in the Chumash. The Ran says it's an old Gzera, because the Gemara learns that from Mayim, but Kesef Tashbirein V'achalti, that the Gemara learned that they learn out from a Pesach, and when Klai Yisrael was going through Moyav, that they're going to buy water. It's Mashma, only water they're going to buy, other things they're not going to buy. So it sounds like already from the Midbar, it's an old Gzera. It's not like a new thing, you know, latest Chumra. The Ran says it was a very old Gzera. And Mela, it's a Davar Chomer, it's a Davar Chomer. And there's also such a thing as, you know, that it's not Bishul Yisrael, only there. So the Vadat, Bishul Akum is also a period. Okay? Now, how does something become Bishul Yisrael? There is a machlikas between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim about that. We'll get to later on, you know, in the Shir. So any hechsher on a food, okay, if you have a hechsher on a cake, on a cookie, Lav Dafka's Pas Yisrael. You know, you can have Snyder's pretzels or.
They're just telling you that it's kosher, not telling you that it's
possible. Right. Mashenkin, if there's a candle, if there's any other food, they are telling, included in the heksher is that it's not bishlakim. Because otherwise it's straight. It's also in drabonon. You're not allowed to eat it. It's like eating, you know, they're not going to. It's also in drabonon. So even though the package may not say bishlakim, it is bishlakim. So it's not bishlakim. So it's also, period. Nothing to talk about. Okay? Let's say it's fun to find the tuna can. On the tuna can, it says Bishul Yisrael on it. Sometimes I'm like, the firm brand. Dog him. Bishul Yisrael, what?
Some of them do.
That's what I'm saying. Some of the cans will say Bishul Yisrael, some won't. So why are you saying it for? If it's kosher, it's kosher. Because tuna is a machlekes. No, because tuna is a big machlekes. If it needs to be Bishul Yisrael. Why? Because maybe it's not Oil al Shulchan Aruch. Because some hold the tuna, when's the last time? You know, if the day that you get invited into the White House, they're going to serve you a tuna sandwich. You're not going to be too happy. So,
the tuna,
you know, it's like that. My Rashiva, when in high school, Rainmore, he used to say, he said that he was a big kanoi. He was a big machmer, kashrus especially, in general. So, tell us a big kanoi. Anyway, so he said that there was this guy, that was, you know, they said this joke, that the story that the guy was, there was a guy. You know, he's like looking for kulas all the time. You know, there's a sheet of the holes like this. He was like looking for his kulas. So the guy goes up to Shemaim and they sit him down and he's waiting. He's like, you know, I never did any averes. He's a good guy. You know, he found the way in through every door. You know, and they sit him down to give him a tuna sandwich. What's going on? Tuna sandwich? This is for a tuna sandwich. He said, I thought I'm going to get levyasa. Yeah, there's a sheet in the medrash of levyasa and his tuna. So that's why. But a regular food, if there's no shaila, why something is if there's no shaila, if it's oil shachem lochem or if it's nachal chai, it has to be bishul yisrael. There's nothing to argue about that. Now, the thing is that most items.
Sushi is maybe kind of tuna raw.
Okay, so that's a good question that came up nowadays. The question is, that's his point. So therefore, one could argue that fish is nechal chayt, edible raw, so what do I need the guy for?
Right.
Worst comes to worst, I'll have sushi. But it's not like that. You can't just buy raw fish and eat it. Sushi needs to be prepared a certain way. I think it has to be a certain type of grade also. It's a certain grade, sushi grade fish. I don't think you just like...
When I've been on the boat, we fillet the fish and eat it.
What?
When I've been on boats, we fillet the fish and eat it. Maybe they prepare it because of FDA or whatever it's called, but I don't think you need to.
What?
The rice has to be
fish is clean to eat.
It's clean.
You can eat it right on the boat.
When you eat it right on the boat, you have to salt it and lemon it and any of this stuff.
Freshest thing ever when you eat it right off the boat.
Raw. Just raw like that?
You fillet, you cut it, and take the guts out, debone it.
You cut it and...
Yeah.
You cut it and that's it?
Right there on the boom.
I thought you have to prepare sushi. It's not just...
The FDA, they make a certain grade, but the grade is, I don't know what that is, so I'm not familiar.
Okay, so there's a tshuva written. I'll look into that. My next week we'll have to look into that. Exactly what the story with that is. Okay? I hear that. In a chanam. Okay, so these are the two conditions. We're talking about Bishlakl. So these are the two conditions in order for it to be mutter, if a guy cooked it, is that it has to be a food which is nechal chai, and it's something which is edible raw, and it has to be a food which is in oil shachmol, it's not a fancy food which is served at an estate dinner of the king. Okay?
So what they're arguing about with the different hechsherim is if it is
it does it need bishul yisrael, but a food which lakuli, which everybody holds is a chosher food and it's not edible raw, there's no such thing as the hechsher, I'm not makbid on bishul yisrael, there's no such shita. Bishul yisrael is an issur d'rabanan, everyone holds of it. The question is that there's certain leniencies which come up. There's certain leniencies which come up in certain hechsherim that they say this type of food is doesn't. Now, I'll give you one example. I don't want to get too much into examples. I want to give the principles first. We're going to do them. Okay, Rice Krispies. I don't even go there. Rice Krispies. Okay. So it's puffed rice essentially, right? And they add. I mean, it's sugar, and then with the sugar they put in puffed rice.
You wouldn't eat at the White House.
That's correct. Correct. So therefore, the OU Paskins from Rebelsky, that it's not nechal, it's not oil, it's not nechal chai. You can't eat raw rice. It has to go through a heating process of cooking in order to puff it and create it into an edible food. So it's not nechal chai. But Rebelsky Paskin, that Rice Krispies is not oil shulchan malachim because it's sweet. It's not a kosher food at all, and therefore
sweet. It's an adam. It's the way that they cook it, but the rice itself.
Okay, so Rabbi Felder in Lakewood, so he went down. He got information how they cook it, and he said he's what?
He's known for that.
Yeah, he's very good. So he said the way they do it is that they puff all the rice at once, and essentially you could really it's like eating rice. It's not mamish the rice that we know. It's a little bit like puffed out of its shell, but essentially it's rice. Okay. After that, they dry it and they put the sugar on. But at the time that it was cooked in a way that really was edible. It's edible, and it's edible in a chosher way. So therefore,
you wouldn't find it at the steak dinner. You wouldn't find Rice Krispies.
No, so but he's saying the Rice Krispies is what's produced after it's cooked. But the actual cooking produces regular rice, basically. And then they take the cooked rice and add sugar to it into a way to make it into a cereal. So once it's the final product, it's not anymore oil shulchan malach. The cooking process could be achieved a level that it was oil shulchan malach. So Rebelsky held that since it was made in a way that the whole was part of one process, and even when it was cooked, it really was done in a big lob, whatever, in a way that it wasn't new. So that's why you'll find some of the Jewish brands of Rice Krispies, which have Bishul Yisrael on it, on the Rice Krispies.
So
some of them are
machmer
that it needs Bishul Yisrael. The OU is not saying, oh, we're not machmer Bishul Yisrael. No. What they're saying is that it doesn't require Bishul Yisrael because it's not Olah Shulchan Malach. Okay? So that's the idea. Whereas last week we talked about Pas Yisrael, which you don't have to be machmer on Pas Yisrael. There are different opinions. So the Hashem don't have to write anything. They could say it's not Pas Yisrael, and that's fine. And the person wants to be machmer on that or on Sarah Simichuva and different things. That's your own business. But the Heksher is allowed to give a Heksher if it's not Pas Yisrael. But Bishul Yisrael, no such thing. Bishul Akum is also Midrabanan. They've never revoked it to any degree. And the only machlokes is in these two conditions, okay? So this is what we have to get into now, prat by prat, these two conditions to see if something's Bishul Akum or something's not Bishul Akum.
Pas Yisrael, the leniency was that you're allowed to have Pas Palter, or
yes.
You're not allowed to have Pas Akum?
No, Pas Palter.
Pas Palter.
Keep shooting, yeah.
So we're not concerned there that they're going to put something tome.
No, that's what we said. Because by bread, you can really tell the ingredients.
But this day we stopped at a Heksher because.
Well, nowadays,
human bread, they're putting the lard on it.
I'm not saying that you don't need Heksher on bread. I'm just saying is for the.
Rabbi was saying they used to not have many things that could be in there.
Today's different.
So now, okay. So let's go on this first condition that we're saying that there's no iser of bishul yisrael. There's no din of bishul yisrael on something which is nachal chai. It's edible raw. So he said carrots, fruits, things like that that you could eat. Now the non-Jew will go ahead and make you a kompot. He'll cook the apples. It's fine because you didn't need the apple to be cooked. You could have ate it raw. Since it was edible raw, it's mutter to eat it in bishul akum as well. Okay. Now there's, like you said, there's different minhagim in different places. I'm sure we had this Jamaican, remember Linden, we had this Haitian guy, I think he did some work here, very fine guy, and he was picking every single thing off of the different bushes in around the property over here, this berry and that berry, and you know, he was picking off and eating it off the tree, and like, this stuff is delicious, whatever. So there's different minhagim in different countries, what's edible, what's considered edible, what's not considered edible. Okay, so like as my father said, when he was out in Asia, in the Far East, so he said, and the way he put it is, he says, it's hard to tell if you're in a pet shop or a food store.
Cats, people eat cats.
Then you could go in there and buy all sorts of stuff that, oh, and here we know
what to
eat. Yeah. So what determines whether something's edible raw or not edible raw? So the halacha is that it goes by the country. So in other words, you don't go by each country can develop that minhag for itself. So you don't say, well, the country is bottled to the whole world. If that's what they do here they eat it raw. So here it would not be subject to bishul yisrael. If in a different place they don't eat it raw, they only eat it cooked. So then that would be the minhag over there. Okay? But if you have one individual person who, you know, he's willing to eat it raw, that wouldn't count. So that's why the sushi thing, you have to know. What's the roiv people in the country? They eat raw fish, or raw people, the roiv, the stam, roiv person, the stam regular guy, what does he do? So I don't know. I mean, what? Raw? Same cook. What? Japan.
Is it
most? Not be makbid. No, most people will not insist on having cooked sushi. I'm saying, and most people will be comfortable eating the raw stuff. Now, the sushi that we eat, is it really raw or is it like prepared with maybe that changes the law. You know, if it becomes a minig, if it becomes the standard by roiv of the country, roiv of the place you live in, that they're comfortable eating something raw, it will no longer be subject anymore to the law of Bishul Yisrael. Right. I don't know what the brach on sushi is. So far, I made two brachas. I don't make three, but two, you know, I think. And that's it?
If you want
to do one,
what?
So, that's
what I'm saying.
Sushi is rice. Live in Japan. Well, that's the part that's making you full. Right, that's the part that's not. So the halach is that you go by the minhag medina, okay? Oh, now here's a very important shiloh. What? Right. So we'll talk about that. What happens if you have to go through a process, but it's not a cooking process? Yes, ceviche, right, exactly. A lot of the first ceviche and chapa. We're going to talk about that on the Thursday night chair. But anyway, so now here's a very important shiloh. What about something which is edible raw, but it's only edible raw if you add ingredients to it? Okay? So for example, there was a this was a controversial story. Like an onion. Okay, you can't take an onion and eat it, okay? So the poison can
set his uncle.
Okay, that guy's uncle is not right with the world. So an onion, you can't eat it raw. Oh, carrot
chop it up.
Oh, so you chop it up and put it into a salad, okay? So the Chalkis Binyamin, or Binyamin Cohen, says that the poiskim all say is that onions are not nechal chai, and therefore they're subject to bishalakal. So if the guy in the restaurant is frying the onions in order to put into the mashed potatoes or whatever he's putting it into, that's a problem. He's not allowed to fry the onions. The Yisrael has to be willing on frying the onions. Shaila is, like you just asked, that, what do you mean? But you can cut up the onion, put it into a salad, eat it raw. So what's a teretz? A teretz is that means you're eating it as a tavlin, as a spice. You're not eating it as the food itself. So therefore, the food itself is not edible the way it is. You can't eat the food itself. You could put it in and be mevatel et beroiv so that you basically can't taste it. That's not enough. That's not a normal way of eating that particular food. And therefore, you're really like taking away the food. You're being mevatel the food. But if you have a different food, for example, this is an interesting shiloh. Nachum Eisenstein spoke about it a little bit from a different perspective. Cranberries. So do cranberries have to be bishul yisrael? And he was raising the issue on Thursday night about craisins. Craisins are dried out cranberries with sugar. So he said that maybe it should be also to eat those because they're bishul akum. And he said, well, the mice are not olo shulchan malach. Okay, fine. But there's a different issue, which is, are they nechal chai? So the
you don't eat them.
What? What about like cranberry sauce and stuff like that?
As long as it doesn't trigger one, you don't care about the other.
No, but let's say cranberry sauce is oil of shulchan aruch, maybe. Craisins aren't, but cranberry sauce. So now the question is, are they not? So there are certain cranberry products that have a triangle K on them. Right? Right? The Ocean Spray. So Rabbi Felder, he called up the Rabbi Ral, the Rabag, the triangle K, Machrim. This is why, how can you be, what's your cheshbin? Why it's pshat? You give extra to that. It's bishul akum. So he said, you're worried about bishul akum on cranberries? So those things are nechal chai. So nechal chai. So I just looked it up before I came here.
What is nechal chai?
Nechal means edible raw. So cranberries are not edible raw. It says in the thing, it's very good for your health, but it's not good for your stomach. You can't really eat those things raw. What?
I mean.
Yeah. So but they're not made to. It's now.
They're sour.
They're very, very sour. So the only thing, so what Rabbi Rabak said back was, no, but I went to the farm myself, and I checked it out, and all the people on the farm, they take the cranberries, they have a big bowl of sugar, they dip it into the sugar, and they eat it. So now, it's nechal chai, I did avracha. You can't eat it raw the way it is. In order to diffuse the tartness, you would have to cook it normally. So that's, but they decided, you know what, we'll eat that with sugar. So the question, would that be enough to make it that it's considered nechal chai? It could be eaten raw with a lot of extra sugar. So theoretically speaking, the halacha would be that is enough. It's just that most people don't even do that. So that's still not enough to change the minute. So therefore, that's why a lot of poskim still say that cranberries should have bishul yisrael on items which are oil ha'shulchan malachim. Now the question is cranberry sauce oil ha'shulchan malachim? You know, and they say, well, Thanksgiving, you know, people eat it at a chashav dinner. You know, so maybe it is oil ha'shulchan malachim.
They eat it at Thanksgiving.
Right, for sure. No shaila. Right. So the point is that maybe it is oil ha'shulchan malachim, and therefore maybe it's not nechal chai, and therefore maybe it wouldn't require bishul yisrael. That was the issue. But that's an example of something which is nechal chai aidei davar acher, which if the roiv of the Medina would do that, it would be enough to consider nechal chai. So let's say you have what? Olives are not edible raw. Raw olives are hard as a rock, no? So olives would be a problem. Right. Olives would require bishul yisrael. But are they cooked or are they just
I don't know how they're prepared, but I know that they're raw, that they're hard, and you get them soft.
I think they're just pickled.
Yeah, pickled.
They're not cooked. It's not cooked. So you can have a non-Jew cook pickle stuff, just not cooking. So I don't think the olive, a cooked olive maybe would be an issue. But okay, so let's say you have a spread. Let's say you have a a spread. So the, even though the spread, the only way you eat it is with bread, but that's the normal way to eat that. So that also, you know, let's say you have something which is, they bring a yam of ginger. I don't know exactly how that's prepared, but the only way you eat it is with something else.
What kind of ginger?
I don't know. The poskim talking about zangvon. It's talked about early in the poskim, the shach. The shach talks about it. So I don't know exactly the metzias that they're talking about.
Spice, you don't eat it raw.
Right. Well, maybe you eat it raw, but you eat it through... Oh, yeah?
You could
put it on pumpkin pie.
I put it in my juices.
Put it on your pumpkin pie a little bit.
What is it? Right, that stuff they put on the sushi bread. Okay, and also the fact is that if something's only nachal chai when you're desperate, it's not. It doesn't count either. It has to be that that's the normal way, the chatchilah way that you would eat that particular food. Okay, so most, let's say, canned vegetables are not nachal chai. So you have chickpeas and peas and corn and these type of things. They're not edible raw. Okay, so all those. Taking the corn out of the stalk, and that you can't eat, right? When you buy it in the store that way. Yeah, the can is cooked, that's my point. So who cooked it? Green Giant, right? So now, so the question, who?
I don't think one of them is more like also pickled.
No, it's they cook it straight up in the can. So now the question is going to be, okay, so it's not nechal chai. The question is that a problem? So the question is, does it have the other condition? Is it fit for an estate dinner? Okay? So first
pigs
of all,
eat it, not
what?
Pigs eat it, not pigs.
Yeah, so l'chora, first let's define, what's considered oil ashok halacha? It has to be served at the state dinner of the White House. I mean, so first of all, so nothing that we do in our homes. You know, they have these fancy chefs and whatever. I mean, even if you're going to cook a fancy piece of meat, you think they're going to serve the meat the way you served it? It's going to be with garnished and all this stuff. You know, I don't know if they're going to serve it the way you served it in your house, right? So, so what does it mean exactly? And also, what's the logic behind it? The logic, says the Rambam, is because someone's not going to invite you over to their house unless they serve your chashav food. So you see, the Rambam saying that means that the opposite is, as long as it's chashav enough that someone would invite you to their house to eat. So it doesn't have to be an estate dinner, as long as it will be served at a chashav meal. So basically, somewhere between a Shabbos meal and a Sheva Brachas and, you know, a chashav meal, really that's already enough to be considered.
Suppose about you for barbecue?
What?
Suppose about you for barbecue?
What do you mean?
Where you're serving hot dogs and hamburgers and all that.
And corn.
Right. So that's your
corn on the cob.
Right. So if someone invited you over for a fancy meal, the criteria can't be no one's going to invite you over to sit for a fancy meal. You invite people over all the time.
Yeah, but that's family and whatever. But if you're inviting a kosher guest, you're not going to invite them for a barbecue. Right? You're going to...
The problem is...
Maybe.
Traditionally, always considered. So, you've never really gone to a wedding and served corn as a side dish.
Not yet.
It doesn't happen. In South American Cuban circles, they do. Corn is kosher.
You could have corn with the,
they'll serve all of the vegetables.
To put on top of your salad. To put on the salad they make it with you with the parts of palm with corn and you throw it on top.
So generally speaking, it's not, these type of things are not considered kosher foods, because they're not served as a side dish on their own, that this is what you're going to serve the guy, a spoonful of corn or arbis or any of these things, chickpeas, these type of foods are not considered
kosher. But you wouldn't do that with onion either by itself at a steak dinner.
No, but you would fry onions and put them the way they're meant to be served, as part of something else. But you are correct in the fact that there are, you know, so let's discuss this for a second. Let me give an example of the potatoes. Very interesting. So the Chochmas Adam says, the Chai Adam, who lived in the time of the Vilna Goy, okay, right before like the late, you know, 1700s. So he says that potatoes are oil HaShulchan Malach. Potatoes is a kosher food. The Aruch HaShulchan, who writes about 120 years later, whatever, the Aruch HaShulchan says, potatoes are not oil HaShulchan Malach. Potatoes are peasant food, and they're not oil HaShulchan Malach. And he says, the Chachmas Adam says they are. So this is not an Indian of Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. This is an Indian of Metzias. Either it is or it's not. And he says, Pshat in the Chachmas Adam, he says, very interesting thing. Is that in the days of the Chachmas Adam was when they first found the potatoes from the foreign land. So Pshat is that the potatoes were on this side of the Atlantic, right? So they didn't have in Europe. When they first found potatoes, so the people that were eating potatoes were importing them. So he says, if they were importing potatoes, only the Chosha people could afford to have it. So it was a delicacy. Who could have potatoes? He says, by now, we replanted them here, and we have them here, and now it's the cheapest food that exists. So says Aruch HaShulchan, therefore it's a peasant food. No one would dare serve this to a king. Because, you know, you're going to serve, like you said, you're going to serve a peasant food to a king. So, say, what? Yeah, so he says, basically, it's all dependent, you see from that conversation, you know, it says, it's all dependent on, it's all dependent on the Metzias of what's going on in that particular time. But that historical I don't know. Did you make a dumb on that? I think you make shahakal on it.
No, so just like by parts, you throw the shahakal during the year, it gets elevated by the Seder, so you make a dumb by the Seder on both the parts and both on raw potatoes.
Really? No, because raw potatoes should be shahakal otherwise. I mean, it's not made to be eaten that way. It's not. I mean, I've caught him. He went into the pantry. Now, on the bottom shelf of the pantry is potatoes. So the 1 year old sometimes goes. He has on occasion gone in there. Next thing you know, he's eating his potato. You know, raw. You know, but he spits it out. He's, you know, it's not particularly edible food.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. Now,
why do you change through time?
Because no. Gzera doesn't change, but yeah. What's considered oil al-shachar malachim will change.
That's part of the
Gzera. The Gzera is oil al-shachar malachim. Now, what is considered a kosher food depends on where you're living and depends on the time. Okay, so now the
there's another issue with the canned food is that they cook everything in it, so they're cooking those canned stuff on shreifas. So
no, but the hechsher, okay, I'll just tell you right now is that the hechsher on corn, OU corn, and OU peas and OU chickpeas, all this stuff that is on these on the regular brands. Is not officially so. And they hold that none of this stuff is oil HaShulchan Malachim. And that's why they give the hechsher to it. Because they hold that all these types of foods are not considered oil HaShulchan Malachim, and therefore a guy is allowed to cook them for you, and it's not a problem. I mean, in addition to the fact that there's another heter, which we'll talk about, on all canned foods. Like you're saying, there may be a heter on all canned foods in general, a different heter, but this is the basic heter. Cranberries. So no, the thing is cranberry more of a delicacy?
I'm getting at the White House on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, potatoes too.
You're right.
And corn.
And corn?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's because it's more of a traditional thing. I don't know if it's a rye or what they serve at Thanksgiving. Because there's certain traditional stuff. You know, I don't know if they're...
Those with turkey. Every time they serve turkey, they're going to serve cranberry sauce.
Right.
I don't think they serve cranberry sauce. And the 4th of July, they serve hot dogs and hamburgers.
What?
The 4th of July, they serve hot dogs and hamburgers. So I'm just saying that
it's a traditional
outlier.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if cranberry is
any more or less
kosher. Right. Okay, so that's why I think that most of the Hechsherim don't consider Bishul cranberries subject to Bishul Hagam, I think. I don't know for sure about that. I didn't look into cranberries besides that story. Now, here's where things get very complicated. So let's say I made mashed potatoes. Now, mashed potatoes is served at any chashrut dinner you go to, they're going to serve mashed potatoes. Now, they're not going to serve the mashed potatoes the way you did. They're going to add margarine and butter and then they're going to add, you know, spin it and harden the top and shape it, and they're going to, right? So, Lamaisa, is that considered that your mashed potatoes in your house are not oil al shulchan malachim? Or do you say, no, mashed potatoes are oil al shulchan malachim? The fact that they could take this and now prepare it further in a way that it would make it look fancier or look chashuv or be chashuv, that's enough. So the place can say is that if you can take the food that you made and by adding it and preparing it a little bit better, a little bit more with more experience and more care, you would be able to make it and serve it in that same way, then it's subject to Bishul Hagam. So that would mean that you make mashed potatoes are oil shulchan malachim. The fact that you're not as precise as they are when they make it doesn't take away the issue.
Does that represent everybody that's Christmas? We said before that Rakowski said, but at the end of the day, even though it was rice, but it's...
Well, he's saying, because it... Itself, yeah,
he's, right? He says, even though the rice itself might be on the Dabar Kashi.
Right, so that's the Machmirim holding that. But he says that it was based in the middle of the process.
Right, so he's saying, you see, it's potatoes and potatoes. The fact you fancy it up doesn't change...
So what do you... No.
But you have to draw the line somewhere. It either is in a Metzias of it or it's
no,
not.
No, so they're saying the Metzias is that... What you're saying that what? Corn, you make it, you turn it into a chashuv food? It's not a chashuv food, it's animal food.
What do you mean? Potato wasn't either.
No. No, because mashed potatoes is this very food that you're eating, they eat in at this chashuv dinner. The fact that you weren't so precise in preparing it, I'm not saying, this is a very clear distinction, I'm not saying that if you would prepare it in a different method. Well, let me give you an example. Let's say a food, give me an example of a food, that it's only chashuv if you fry it. You have a food like that?
Eggplant,
okay. So eggplant is only considered chashuv if you fry it. Let's say. A good example, okay? So now, a fried eggplant is oil shulchan malach. Now, are you going to say, therefore, if I cook eggplant, it's also oil shulchan malach? Because the White House chef could take this eggplant and he could have made it into something which is oil shulchan malach. So the halacha is that case is mutter, but the first case of mashed potatoes is aser. The distinction is clear. The distinction is like this. You take the food and you did a different process. The process that you did with the food was cooking. Cooking an eggplant is not a process which prepares it in the way that's chashuv. So therefore, that process is mutter if the guy did it. But frying eggplant is a different process that you do with this food. That process turns it into a chashuv food. If I cooked it in the same process that they are doing, they're just more precise in that very process, that's more of a problem. That's the distinction that the place is.
You
would say
baked potato would be no problem, according to that. Mashed potatoes is a chashuv food, and a baked
correct.
Potato would be okay.
Right, correct. I don't know the materials, but theoretically speaking, that would be the case. That's the distinction. Now, you don't say, well, this food, theoretically, can make it all the way to the White House. No, you don't say that. You say, this food, the way you prepared it, is a chashuv food. But if you would take this food and do something else with it, that this process would never reach that level, then it's mutter.
So why is cranberry juice any worse for this? Meaning, cranberry sauce is good. They're making it a different way. They're making juice.
So you're saying the juice is not subject to the problem altogether?
Yeah.
In a chanami, maybe in a chanami.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
They're going to serve it in their drinks.
Maybe you're right.
With some liquor.
Okay. So
it's true.
You know?
So that's the slight nuance over here in this distinction. Okay? So that means means that kipshuto, we don't go with the min. We don't go with
the White House.
So this is where the tuna issue comes in. Okay? This is where the issue with the tuna and the bishul akum comes in. The OU holds that tuna fish, the way they cook tuna fish in the plants is a process that will never produce a chashav enough tuna to be served at any sort of chashav meal.
They make it on the boat.
What?
They make it on the boat. They're heating that stuff up on the boat.
It's not a chashav process. Okay? But if you take a tuna, a fresh tuna, fillet it, fry it, that stuff is chashav. That can...
You don't have to fry it.
So you can prepare that in a way that is oil shochem law, right? So what's the argument to say that a tuna can is mutter then? Tuna is oil shochem law.
The process.
So the answer is it depends on the process that's done. Okay? If the process which is done is a process which can produce a chosha food, that process has to be done aide Yisrael. But if the process which is done in a way that can't produce a chosha food, that process does not necessarily need to be done aide Yisrael. And that's where the machlekes, you know, this in these nuances comes with the bishul akum on the tuna fish issue. Okay,
so
no, they're going in the matzias that's not considered edible raw. Obviously, I mean we're not going with that.
But that's absolutely
okay. Nowadays, and you're right. Nowadays, maybe it's a little different. But traditionally, in the 80s, well, no one ate it raw. In the old, you know, 20 years ago, no one's eating tuna raw. It wasn't so what?
Yeah,
but here they were in America. Okay, we go by the country. Here, no one was eating it raw. It didn't become so common until late. Okay, so in back in the 80s, this whole machlokes, you know, Moshe and Dogim, and what did Moshe say? And they took Moshe to the boat. They didn't take Moshe to the boat, and the Mishkech, the whole tuna issue. Rabbi Ganak, when he was here from the YU, from the OU, when Rabbi Ganak spoke here, so he mentioned that he was on the boat over there, and he went on the boat. And the whole story over there. Okay, the two main issues on the tuna that were always is there Mishkech Tamidi. That's checking every tuna to see there's no dolphin. What? And the Bishul Yisrael. Those two issues, okay? So the Bishul Yisrael issue is this. Do you consider tuna, besides the Nechal Chai, which is a more recent issue, but do you consider Oil HaShochem Malachim? The fact that they cook it in a way that's not kosher, is that enough? Or do you say, no, listen, tuna, you prepare tuna in a way that's oil. So this is these nuances are what makes huge nafkaminas. Like, I mean, foods like tuna, potato chips, and all these things, which we'll discuss a little bit more further in detail next week, about some of the details on some of the things, so some of the foods.
The Star K holds, whatever, the Heksha holds, that it's, that it has the initially so holds, that since there's a possible way that they could make tuna in a kosher way.
Even more than that, they probably hold like this. Cooking tuna itself really can produce a kosher fish. The fact that they're producing, they messed up. They're not being precise on the boat. But theoretically, a good chef could take that process and turn it into a kosher fish.
You have to start with the premise that it can't be wrong.
Correct. Maybe that, but that's a new thing within the last 10 years.
But again, the casualties are constantly reviewing.
Right, so maybe today. Right, so maybe today. Yeah, I'm not convinced. The tuna that they're serving in cans, that's edible raw? The same tuna?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know which. It's Albuquerque tuna. I don't know if they have Albuquerque issues.
No, it's not the same.
It's not the red tuna.
Saying,
that you get, the nice
it's not
tuna
the red. So there's different tuna. Types of tuna. I don't know if that gray tuna is being served.
It's not different. It's just from a different place.
Is that gray? It's from a different place. What?
Body.
Oh, really? Albuquerque tuna is only from a different place in the body. It's still a red tuna.
I believe so.
No. It's like.
It's a different min. Is that min and nechal chai? That's the question. Can you make sushi out of the tuna?
I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying.
It's from a different part of the food.
It's like the stuff you make for sushi, like filet mignon for meat. It comes from a very specific part. That's how you get the different names. One's a bluefin tuna, one's an Albuquerque. So the tuna that they're using for tuna fish in the can is not edible raw. So therefore it would be subject to this sugya. So we'll have to pick it up next week. What?